free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
If you're at peace with yourself, and in the movie Finding Ozon, you have a 70-year-old who's been abused by his father, raised by his grandfather. His mother passed away at childbirth. And, you know, things just were not going well for him, but yet he moved on from the abuse that he got from his father.
My dad wasn't a bad man. He was a broken man. A broken man, kind of like most of us in one way or another. I am the one who needed another chance to forgive. Fight for it. Find a way. Don't wait your entire life to forgive.
So there's the quick trailer of it. I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Travis and Frankie. Here you go. Here's my interview with them about the upcoming film.
Action.
Thanks so much for being here. Yeah, introduce yourselves and let us know about the new film.
Well, I'm. Guess we haven't rock, paper, scissored yet to see who's going to start, so I'll jump in. I'm Holt Hamilton with Holt Hamilton Films. We have a new film, Finding Ozon. I'm the filmmaker on that movie.
My name is Frankie Gilmore, and I'm Navajo from. Chilchimbito area near Kayenta, Arizona.
Awesome. Now, start with, if anybody isn't familiar, I mean, you've done a lot of films already. So tell me a little bit about your film background, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this one in particular.
Yeah, well, I think the key is even from day one, I grew up in Idaho, never knew you could go into filmmaking until I was actually in college, and found my way, on a couple of little shows and got bit by the film bug, went to film school, and just figured I better learn how to do some writing because no one else was writing stories that I wanted to tell. And so that's, wrote my first film, Turquoise Rose, when I was deployed to Iraq with the Arizona, with the Army, Arizona National Guard Army, and made that first film. And there was a few people that liked it and figured that we did our best on that without really knowing what we were doing, and thought, well, if I make 12 movies, maybe at that point I'll know what I'm doing and know how to make a film and can call myself a real filmmaker. So right now I'm a fake, and Finding Ozon is our 7th movie. So there's a few more than Fried Bread's probably one that if anyone's heard of any of our films, usually that's the one that people have heard of.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope they watch one of yours at least. Fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah. Well, but I still have grace.
Well, tell me a little bit about the idea for this film come about? Where did this even come from?
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, had the thought, I had the thought, if I was to make one more movie, what would it be? This was the last film that I could ever make. What would it be? And I was thinking about some stuff, and through a course of events that I don't remember all of them, I think it's a story of forgiveness. Somehow we need to wrap a story of forgiveness and push that out there and the power of forgiveness when we really can forgive ourselves and others. And so, 10-year process, started writing it, off and on, not full time. I made another movie or two in the middle of that, and just kept working at it. And got to the point, really like the end of last year, kind of getting serious, like I think this is the film that I think it's time to make this movie. And so started pushing it and finished, writing it in March, April, somewhere in there. We started shooting. We, shot 10 days and anyway, maybe I'm jumping ahead of where you want to go with the interview.
No, you're good. Yeah, it's great. Well, okay. So let's give me a little synopsis for anybody who hasn't, seen the, we're going to play the trailer before the interview, but for people who aren't familiar, what's the story of this film in particular?
Finding Hozo. First of all, the word Hozo in Navajo is about being at peace with yourself, balance within yourself, a lot of it, balance within nature, balance within the universe, And so if you're at peace with yourself, and in the movie Finding Hozo, you have a 70-year-old who's been abused by his father, raised by his grandfather. His mother passed away at childbirth. And, things just were not going well for him, but yet he moved on from the abuse that he got from his father, moved down to the urban areas, and then his father had about 12 days left to go. And so he brought him into his home and looking at how he can, a lot of memories kept popping back up. And so he just eventually got over that and forgave his dad and he found Hozo.
Nice. Excuse me. With a story like this, who are you hoping the audience is for this? Is this for just the Native community? Or are you hoping this is more of a wider audience for people who out there who are kind of watching this? Where do you hope this lands?
I've along the journey, I've started. I found that the kind of movies that I am drawn to and that I love, at least there is a big gamut of that. But I think it's those movies that connect with me as a human. And that's kind of where my focus has been at least the last two films, Touch the Water and this one, is trying to connect with the human heart. And so obviously, have amazing actors, first time actors, some experienced actors that come through and such. This one's wrapped, we shot a bunch on the Navajo Nation, Dinetra, but this is yes, it's for a Native audience, but it's for me, it's for a human audience that I hope it reaches across, cultural bounds, across, lines drawn on a map, that it reaches into the hearts of humans around the world. Because I think it's a human story that has the ability to connect with real humans. And even with the few screenings that we've had so far, I feel that the film's doing that. Natives, non-natives.
Right now, go ahead.
Well, I just like to add that, in Mother Earth, we are here in Mesa, Arizona, and you're back east somewhere probably.
Yes, sir.
And then there's other people clear on the other side of Mother Earth. This story about forgiveness is universal in humans, and even in animals, there's some way that we learn from them. But yet, I've had friends who are non-natives who've come to me and emailed me or just talked to me or text me and said, I can relate to a lot of this. My dad was this, my mom was this, my siblings are this, they're going through a lot of these things and they're not native, but yet they understood it. And a lot of them have gone back two and three times to watch the movie, which was, I thought, wow, And what they said was, the first time I didn't quite understand it because I was really busy trying to read the read the captions underneath and trying to grasp all of the Navajo language and everything about it. But then the second time when I went back, I understood it a lot more. I could see it. I could sense it. I even cried. You know, a lot of them always said, you know, I really had an emotional part into it. And so, you know, it is universal, you know, about forgiving someone, about letting that baggage go, you know, whatever it is that people hang on to for years and years and years.
That's awesome. And I'm curious about telling your storytelling and using the medium that you've picked for storytelling. Right now, I feel like in some ways we're in this content overload with the TikToks and Facebook. There's just so much content out there. Some really good content and some of it is, you know, just noise, right? So tell me about storytelling in this, and I'd like to hear from both of you. You know, what is it like to tell a story in this medium that you think will attract people? And like, why should I go see this movie in a theater or watch it online as opposed to just going and watching another YouTube video? I'm curious, like, how you feel about the state of content creation right now.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
You know, it brings to mind my granddaughter. She's 16. And the question I asked her was, what do you like about the movie? And she said, oh, man, it was the cinematography. She said that it was just so amazing to see the landscape, everything that fit together, you know, that. And so here's a 16-year-old girl, a woman, young woman, who saw beyond that and saw the cinematography of part of it. And she said the actors just made it like every one of them just seemed to fit within that puzzle. And so, you know, I'm just taking it from a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, for me, it's, you know, not knowing that you could go into filmmaking as a kid. You know, I grew up in southern Idaho, a little town called Twin Falls. And, you know, back in the, you know, I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, 90s. Not a lot of technology, but so we were out, you know, in the dirt, out, you know, camping, kind of in life. Without all the attachments and stuff that kind of suck us in for better or worse today in the technology. But I, you know, we went to the theater now and again, maybe a couple, two or three times a year if we're lucky. We, you know, there was television, we had color TV. you didn't have DVDs. You know, I was, you know, in the age where you could go in, we would have to go, remember as an 8-10 year old, going to the video store and renting this big old machine like the size of a suitcase, which basically was one of the first VCRs, and picking out these VHS tapes. And we would get it over the weekend because you could get it like for a one-day rental and have what, Friday night to Monday morning to watch and get 7 or 8 movies and go home and watch it. That was really our forms of visual, you know, with the technology is what the TV was playing or the theater was playing. VHS allowed it that you could kind of choose and go and see some stuff maybe you haven't seen. And with the attraction to the medium is I love music. I love good music. I'm probably a very poor musician for sure. But I know there's power in music. I love, you know, the arts. Frankie is not only a great actor, but very talented artist, you know, with brush strokes and things and having that visual that you can hang on your wall or he carved stuff. You'll see him carve some stuff in the movie that were actually his pieces that he was working on. And we just had him work on them a little more. And so there's that, those elements that, you know, I did take a photography class in high school and the teacher said, hey, you have a really good eye. And that stuck with me. I started to buy in and believe in those words that she said, but I love still photography, I wanted to, you know, work for National Geographic or something. And but I would take an image, and what do you do with an image? You can put it on a wall, and it definitely has this place. And so I'm not talking bad about photography at all. Or, you know, I wanted to be landscape, but I started taking some landscape photos. And to me, there was like something was missing. Like, what? I'm not finding the joy. And then I realized when I would take pictures with people, a person in it, there was the, there was something special. And so at some point I realized that. And then that, you know, kind of moved into motion picture. And motion picture for me, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's just you have so many elements. You have the visual, the sound, you know, that the theater, the interaction with the communal experience, all those things working together to, you know, to share that experience, to have your feeling and emotions with the music in there that can take, you know, can kind of help guide your feelings along the journey. And so for me, just loving that and the aspect of collaboration, you know, I've done a lot of things on, you know, kind of a one man band majority of the time. This film, you know, some of the films you have some people that are helping you and you know, making the project better. This one, we had great team, in front of, behind the camera, all working together. We had great post-production team that, you know, added the music and the color correction and bringing all those different variables. And it's so chaotic, and it's collaboration. That's what I fell in love with the process. And early on, when I realized that you'd go into filmmaking, I was an extra in a Disney movie. And for me, they're sitting there like, what is happening? This is insane. It is so chaotic. People running, I don't even know what to do. I was an extra told to run across the screen here, walk down a hall with some other school students. But I fell in love with the commotion and the chaos and just everybody. I love the team effort on set when you're like, hey, we've got to do this, is what we need to get done today. Everybody, you know, if you have the right people, you're working as a team, it's unified. There's, you know, you can do one, you know, what is it? One person does this much, but one times when there's two of you, it doesn't equal two, it equals three, four. I forget the fancy word, but it just allows, you know, you can feed off of things positively and negatively. That's probably a really long answer, but that's what I think this film does. And I guess getting back to your question is the theatrical experience is, I love going to the theater, and I think there's power in that. Again, the communal experience and seeing it. And this is a film that will hopefully, as we can fight and get screens and stay kind of in the big realm of the big picture realm. We'll be on here on the big screen as long as we can. Maybe a showing or two here, a week here. I'm going to continue to push that out for probably a year, maybe two, before it'll be available to stream. Maybe faster. It'll just kind of depend. It's a lot of work, but I think there's something that's said about getting it on a big screen. I mean, we're competing. When you get put on the big screen, you're competing with the biggest movies in the world. I just realized that this week, kind of that eye-opening, like, here we are, this little tiny film, 10 days to shoot, no money, you know, 12 of our 19 actors, first-time actors on the big screen. Others had maybe been in a few, maybe some more experience. You know, I'm still, it's in film number 7, I still don't know what I'm doing. And we're able to get, you know, blessed to be able to have an opportunity where theaters that will give us the opportunity to be up there and compete at the highest level with Hollywood. And we're playing against millions and billions of dollars in, you know, movies right now. Wicked's out, Zootopia's out, that we're battling with our little film. And yeah, we're getting booted at places we can't get into majority. You know, Utah, I was trying to get in 5 theaters up there. It took me about 3 months, you know, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months to get in a theater up there. And finally, just from relationships that we've played up there before. And I think just being determined and consistent and a lot of prayer and other people trying to like request the film to come, like all those things, that we're able to have one screen that we open, you know, open tomorrow in Utah, one screen in the entire state of Utah, that we get to go and battle out. Wicked's playing there, Zootopia, all the big movies right now are there. We, you know, to play, and they gave us 1 week. We're playing 4 or 5 times a day. And so I think I love that challenge, even though it's so hard and so discouraging, and times that I'm in tears and, you know, and in my little office, and just that struggle of being a nobody. We have no names in our film. It's us, you know, we're trying to, but trying, like, we believe in what we're doing, and the film is getting some very good reviews and the feeling is there, because it's, again, me focusing on, okay, what can we, I don't have the funds to make huge blockbusters, maybe someday, but right now we don't, but we do have the ability to try to capture and focus on the human heart. And that's my focus. I feel if we do that, then those other things will take a little bit more care of themselves.
With the Navajo word in the title, I know that you have worked to make it authentic and have Navajo people involved in all aspects of it. So would you talk a little bit about the cultural impact of it and how you have made sure that it is authentic?
This film went through like the thought of like, what's the last film I'm going to do? I want to do it right. I started right away with prayer. So I'm going to give, God the glory on that right up front, like through prayer and effort, him opening doors, him allowing certain things to happen, to meet certain people, to bring all that together. That's sort of the number one reason that things come together with that. The other part is that, I lived on the Navajo reservation for a couple of years. The main thing I learned is I know almost absolutely nothing. So I don't pretend to, be the cultural guy coming in to do whatever. And then, with that, the script needing to get it right. And so through lots of prayer and I had lots of readers that came and gave me some direction on that, and really surrounding myself with trust on this film specifically, with trusted people that I know would give me honest feedback. This is the greatest script I've ever read. And like, well, it's because it's the only script you've ever read. That's why. But getting some real feedback and putting trust into the people that I've worked with and built relationships. I've known Frankie for 20 years, maybe. Yeah. I had the thought that, hey, I need to go talk with Frankie about playing the lead role. What, 3 days or so?
Yeah.
Frankie's like, I've never acted. But it's surrounding yourself with good people. And so we had cultural advisors, Julius Tooley. He's been a cultural advisor on 3 or 4 of our films. But it's that collaboration. It's looking at the human, you look at the human heart, then it takes a lot of things out of the equation. If I can focus on the human heart and feel things myself, like real feelings, that should translate across languages, across cultures, because we have that human connection. Even in the film, our lead Sakoti doesn't say a lot, but there's a lot of emotion that comes across the screen that we feel that we don't need him to say. Even says some words we don't understand, maybe because we don't speak the language. There's those things that come together. So it's filming in the right locations. We shot on the Navajo reservation. All of those things that you use to tell the story in front of the camera, behind the camera, but it's having that cohesive team. And I was very, very, I tried very hard and prayed very hard to have just that cohesion on the team as crew, as cast, as together filmmakers making this film happen. I'm sure I could go on. I don't know, Frankie, if you have some.
Yeah, I was born on an Navajo Nation. My grandpa raised me till I was 12. And I went to boarding school, Kayenta boarding school. And, I lived in a hogan, where the floor is dirt. And especially around about this time, there's always stories being told, the winter stories. I grew up with a lot of that stuff. I grew up with my grandpa telling me certain things, about life, about how you present yourself and how you do things, but yet there's other parts to it that's where hojong comes in. That's where balance comes in. You have all these good teachings over here, but yet on the other side of it, you have the alcohol, you have the drugs, you have the bad things that are there, which is part of life, So if you look at both sides and you try to balance it, you know about the bad things, but you try to live the good part of it. That's your life right there. Living that good life, knowing about the bad, but staying on that path and we call it the pollen path. The Navajos call it the pollen path, and the natives call it the red road. You know, you have a lot of things like all these teachings that you can see in the movie is about as, authentic, about as good as you can get it, if not. You know, there was a lot of, as a Navajo, I saw a lot of things that were correct. A lot of things that were, yeah, I can relate to that. And even those who have sent me messages have said, wow, you know, how did you guys do that? You know, in Navajo we say, Hashita adasla. You know, how did you do it? And I would just say, you know, just, a lot of, one of the things that I saw was that I grew up with my grandpa and he always prayed every morning, every single morning he prayed. And that was not anything. That's how I grew up. So when we started on this movie, every time that we started the movie, we started with prayer. So that always made me feel better. Because when my grandpa taught me, this is how you become part of this world right here. This was, this morning, this physical part of it, you know, that's where I grew up. I just knew it. And in the movie, you see that too. You see the grandpa teaching the grandson about that very thing that I grew up with. So yeah, it's pretty well done, you know, and thanks to Travis and thanks to all of the Navajo consultants that he went with, they did a wonderful job.
That's great. That's great to hear. That's really, it's really exciting to hear how much work went into that. All right. So, for people out there that want to see it, you're saying it's pretty tough to find some screens. If they want it to come to their screen or if they want to watch it, what's the best way? How can they see this film?
Yeah, great question. I'm on the road doing VIP screenings. I'm calling it the Hojong Res Tour. Personally, taking the film around to different communities, different organizations that want us to show the film. I've been doing this for the last few movies. On my More Than Fried Bread movie, took that movie personally to over 60 reservations reserved throughout U.S. and Canada. And so if there's a community organization that wants to get a screening of the film, our website is the best place. It's Holt Hamilton, HOLTHAMILTON.com. And on there, you can request a screening. And that's the way that I'll get those emails or those, I'll get that information and then I'll reach out and we'll start working together to make it happen. Sometimes it takes a few days. Sometimes it's a few months or some tribes that I've been, working with for years. I touched the water movie. I showed a movie in Karuk up in Northern California and it was 9 years to get a movie there. And so that's one way that works. Another way is in your local theater. Surprisingly, theaters really pay attention when they get consumers. You know, all of us that go to theaters, we go in and tell the movie theater, hey, are you going to bring this film? You should bring this film. And when they hear that one time, that can make a difference. When they hear that 2, 3, 10, 100 times, like those theaters listen because those are the people that are paying for that product. And if you want this little indie film, Finding Hojo, on your shelf because you know people are going to pay, then that opens up the doors for the theaters too. And then the theater can, reach out. And if you let me know that you're working on this theater, I can come from my angle as well through the film buyers and reaching out through that connection and letting them know we're playing on the same format that the big movies are playing. They don't have to make an exception to find a VHS player that will play our VHS tape to hook it up to their, $100,000 digital projector, that we're on the same formats and have the teams that ship those drives as Hollywood does. And so we're trying to play on those fields to make. And that's, I think, independent film. A lot of theaters or a lot of people that there's always like, well, it's kind of a, you never know what you're going to get. Are we playing off of a DVD or a Blu-ray or 8-track or whatever? And so that helps. Anyway, I think that's a long answer. But yeah, our website is a great place to start. Finding out where we're at, that's where we have our list of theaters that we're currently in is on that page. And then there's, if you know, send me an email what if you're thinking of somebody else, and do some work on your own of getting something to, you know, to the theater, or talking with organizations. Usually it's a partnership of a few departments or organizations that are working together to get us out there with the film. And social media, Holt Hamilton Films, Facebook, Instagram, and those are the best places to go and let us know that, you know, we'll do our best to get the film, because we want the film to get screened as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for spending a few minutes with me, and can't wait to, hopefully it'll come, we'll get it around here somewhere, or I can catch it at maybe one of the other events I go to this year. But thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you, Paul.
If I'd like to say, yeah, thank you for allowing us to be here and making it possible so that you can tell your story. You know, this is what you're doing, to tell a story of two people that are trying to get something out there that's important to us, as well as the Native peoples, as well as the human being, you know.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is a good thing. So I want to thank you for that. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.